trying to cosplay this year, so I'm, you know, putting together a budget because I don't want to get like a cheap wig. I want a nice wig. And
oh my god, like, all you this... in a wig? I haven't seen you with hair in 20 years.
I know, right? It's long hair.
Who are you cosplaying?
I was gonna do Marcion.
Yes. Okay. I'm minimizing you.
Okay.
Because if I keep you up on my screen, we're just gonna fucking chit chat. And as much as our patrons love that, we should probably record a podcast today.
It does mean body paint, Wes. I have to be gray and gray bluish, black contact eyes, razor sharp teeth. I'm gonna be hot.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be fucking hot. And also,
you're gonna fucking melt. What time of year is this event?
It's gonna be in May, which it's hit or
miss. It's gonna be May.
It's hit or miss. Like, I remember the first year I did Star Wars Night, it was actually pretty cold. And second time, it was hot as shit. So we'll see.
I'm just saying, body paint.
We have a plan A, plan B.
Okay. What's your plan B?
We're going to wear Nihil t-shirts.
That is a super solid plan B. I like it.
I know, right?
Maybe if you guys just had Nihil helmets.
We're not allowed to wear masks.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Otherwise, which
danger.
Does make the costume a lot cheaper.
It does. I would think so. Yeah.
But I have a High Republic lightsaber with a yellow, with a yellow hilt. So that'll be a...
You mean with a yellow blade?
Or blade, yeah, I'm sorry.
There's literally two pieces to a lightsaber.
There's actually five.
Shut up.
Because I've built one.
Master
Yoda helped
there
me.
There you go. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do you want to like enter a podcast today? Or
Let's
would you
it.
Like to continue bragging about how you go to Disney?
That's a good question. Let me think about that. No, wait, that's intro.
All right. Hey everybody, welcome back to Dark Side Divas, the podcast where a woman and a gay man express their opinions about Star Wars. My name is Stephanie, I'm the woman half of the show, and I don't know how many pieces a lightsaber has, I've never been. I'm like the little matchstick girl just staring in through the window at Chris's entire Disney experience.
And I'm waving at you.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. I'm Chris. I'm that homo Sith walk sexual. We'll talk about that.
I'm gonna.
Oh, and Steph.
Hmm.
Let me show you how strong it is.
And then he did a double penetration. Just right. Okay, we'll talk about it.
We're going to talk about it. Yeah.
This is a children's show.
We're trying.
The podcast is not so.
Hey Steph, we have a review.
Oh, okay.
That I wanted to get your comment on.
Okay.
I don't have the name for this person. It's unknown user 66 blah, 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 whatever. Thanks Spotify for helping out with that.
Cool. Thanks.
Hey Stoof and Chris.
Stoof. How is that spelled?
Stoof.
Cool.
Yeah. Why are you so stupid and woke? At least
I'm convinced these are people who actually like us and they're just trolling.
I think so.
They're just
too.
Trying to feed us at this point.
But
and like it's fake though. We know it. We can smell it.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
However, the past couple weeks, I feel like I've had a lot of conversations with especially with women who are just not happy with the fandom.
No.
Why would you? But I think there's hope.
Oh, do tell.
So I know we have a lot of new listeners, so I'm rehashing some old stuff. So I'm sorry about that, but you know, trying to keep everybody on the same page. This is not Steph and I's first podcast. Our first podcast was a wrestling podcast.
True.
Called Greenside Divas, and we stopped doing it because, for much the same reason, I don't like to cover a certain piece of content. We were just getting super negative because there were some people we love that weren't following COVID protocol and getting people killed. We didn't like that. So we moved on and did Dark Side Divas. But I'm still watching wrestling. And Steph is the reason why I'm watching wrestling. Because I was, in the 90s, super turned off by all the racism and bigotry and sexism. And I stopped watching completely. And then Steph invited me to a wrestling show in like 2006, and here I am. So
it's my fault.
So wrestling had a big controversy hit. I'm not going to go into what the controversy was, but the fandom reaction to it was pretty impressive. I've been thinking about this for a long time. My grandfather used to tell me that, you know, the professional wrestling fandom is one of the oldest fandoms. When he was younger, he was a merchant marine. He would walk to magazine stands, and there would be the sports magazines, one or two maybe sci-fi magazines, and then a shit ton of pro wrestling magazines.
Well, yeah, because professional wrestling dates back to carnival era.
Oh yeah, it's old.
Like the 20s, the 1920s.
And right? Also has its roots in the Roman gladiator fights, because a lot of those were staged, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they were, mm-hmm. 100%.
Because you don't actually want to kill people all the time.
Yeah, like yeah. I didn't realize like what a history American professional wrestling had until I read Classy Freddie Blassie's biography,
yeah.
which was fucking great. Mm-hmm. It's a hell of a read if you're into wrestling at all. So yeah, go on.
But yeah, I was reflecting on this, that like in professional wrestling, the same year that Force Awakens came out, and everybody was like, oh my God, raise a girl. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. We had professional wrestling fans and the leading content creators of that fandom saying, we want more women's wrestling. We want women mm-hmm. to be treated equally. And Steph, if you saw the men, you know, I don't want to be judgmental, but if you saw the men that were calling for this and asking for this, all the content contributors, they look like the same men that would comment on your Tiki Talks, you know, why are you so woke? You know, she's a Mary Sue, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Go make me a sandwich, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
And so, you know, now women's wrestling is like awesome. You know, other things have happened, like one of the top wrestlers in one of the other companies held up a We Support Trans People sign nice. In the middle of Huntsville, Alabama during a show, and all the fans stood up and cheered. We had two women of color main event WrestleMania, and before they even got a moment to start their match, all the fans were on their feet cheering for them, because it was the first time not just two women singles match main event in WrestleMania, but it was two people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a big moment, and like it, all these things lead me to believe that it is possible for a fandom that was what one time extremely toxic
mm-hmm.
turn the corner. And so if it's possible in professional fucking wrestling, it's possible in the Star Wars fandom.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I do think it's possible, but look at your fucking timeline. Okay.
Oh, I know.
American professional wrestling has been around for over a century. The Star Wars fandom has been around for 45 years, 46 years.
So when we're
years?
80 years old, Steph.
Yeah. Give it another 40 years or so, and maybe the Star Wars fandom will have matured enough to be able to allow women, not just allow, but welcome women and LGBT and people of color, et cetera, et cetera.
But we can accelerate it.
I mean, that's what we're here for, right?
That's exactly why we're here.
That's why we have this podcast. That's why we're here. We're doing our part to sort of accelerate that growth process.
Right. And so, y'all, the other things that can happen to accelerate that is, one, ignore the haters, block the bigots, fuck them.
Don't fuck bigots.
I mean, don't fun fuck them, like fuck them as in insult them. Like, they don't exist to you anymore. Just stop it. Mm-hmm. Like,
Disregard
them. And that includes content creators, by the way. I see all Tiki Talks insulting what's his fuck and that guy. And they're fun, but like, you're still giving them engagement. You're still giving them traffic. Don't do it.
There are ways to address them without actually boosting their engagement. See me after class.
Yeah. And then spend more time celebrating instead of criticizing. You know, I have developed a new pet peeve, Steph. When somebody uses the phrase hot take.
Uh-huh.
I'm just not into it. Like, it's like, hot take, something critical about Star Wars. I'm like, being critical about Star Wars isn't a hot take anymore. It's like, it's overdone.
Yeah, like, it's to the point where the real hot take is, I don't know, man, I just fucking like Star Wars. Star Wars, you're a fan.
Yeah. And being nitpicky about shit is just, you know, unless you're like a fucking CGI person or makeup artist or costume designer, like, seriously, shut up. Seriously. Yeah.
The fandom is extra gross right now, and it's going to remain extra gross throughout this year. It is, in America, it's a presidential election year, a particularly fraught presidential election year.
Yeah, it's brutal.
So it's getting uglier everywhere. You know, it, just look at the fucking the NFL and the football fans and their freak out over Taylor Swift going to her boyfriend's football games.
Yeah, right. And it's kind of weird because, like, I'm actually going to watch the sports ball because my grandmother's football team is in the sports ball world championships, whatever the fuck it's called.
It's the fucking Super Bowl, and we're going to talk about this because my husband's favorite team, the San Francisco 49ers, are going to the Super Bowl.
My grandmother's favorite team, so.
That's because they're pretty dope. And
are they? I don't know. I'm ignorant.
They're pretty dope.
Yeah.
And so are the Chiefs, and that's why they're all there. But yeah, no, the meltdown over a girl going to her boyfriend's football game has been very, very telling and very revealing of the misogyny that exists in the football fandom. So there's a lot of Venn diagram overlap here with football fandom and Star Wars fandom, and weirdly, the wrestling fandom circle just seems to be edging a little further out.
It's weird.
That's a strange phenomenon to observe. It's pretty interesting.
Heather, because we're recording this live and we have our patrons interacting with the chat, DDavis716 says, I'm watching for the Usher halftime show. Usher is hot.
Usher is the halftime show, yeah.
Usher is so hot. Oh, fucking love him.
I'm watching for the commercials and for tracking the meltdowns. If Taylor Swift shows up, I want to track the meltdowns.
Wes says, it's the superb owl, Chris. So that's, I'm going to...
It's true. It is the superb owl.
I'm going to dress up like one of the vampires now for the Super Bowl party. We have been invited to exclusive event. I love that
the
show.
The superb owl.
Will we get to touch the owl? Okay, anyway. All right, so that's it.
Owl?
That's my.
Is the owl arriving later? Sorry. I need to go watch what we do in the show.
That's our PSA. You want to talk about something really fun really fast?
Sure.
So, Heather, a trailer dropped.
Yeah.
You know, my boys are returning, and so is Mother, apparently. Did you see that coming?
No, because she's dead. Okay, here's the thing, y'all. The Bad Batch trailer dropped. Okay. And I was fine. I was all bright eyes and giddy watching the trailer, and I was fine until we got to the end. And I heard Asajj Ventress's voice. And I literally teared up. I started crying over just hearing her voice. And then I saw her. And she's in her full Dark Disciple look.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With the like undercut hair and the armor and everything. That's her Dark Disciple look.
Yeah.
So what the fuck? What the fuck? Where in the timeline is this? Because according to Dark Disciple, she died during the goddamn Clone Wars. So, what does it mean? I can't wait to find out. That's what it means.
So, Eric, my prime partner Eric and I, we were making food together. We were about to boot up another episode of The Traitors, which I recommend that show. It's so fucking fun and stupid at the same time. And then my phone blew up, and it's like, oh my god, Bad Batch trailer, blah blah. And I'm like, Eric, we need to stop the presses right now, and I'm going to watch this trailer on the big TV. So we put it on, I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, you know, like going through the motions.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is how Eric
describes it. Sad crosshair, aw.
This is how Eric describes it. He's watching me, like, oohing and eyeing over the trailer, and then I flail my arms up like a gorilla, and I bounce left and right like a penguin, and... I'm screaming, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Y'all don't understand how long Chris's arms are, though. If he starts flailing, ain't nobody safe.
No,
people in the next county got smacked.
Yeah, yeah. So Eric was like, who's that? You know, because he doesn't.
Oh, god damn it. I thought he went with us on some of the Clone Wars journey. What the fuck?
Not all of it.
Oh my god.
And then I explained to him, oh my god, Clone Wars, blah blah blah, Asajj Ventress. And he was like, didn't she die in that one book that made
she
you
died.
Cry like 20 times? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
But somehow she returned. So
somehow
we'll see.
She returned.
We'll see.
That's the thing. There's a lot of people in the fandom, again, because they're shitty, who are like, that's not right. That can't be happening. That can't be murmur. And like, look, y'all either worship at the altar of Dave Filoni, or you don't. You don't get to choose to be like, Dave Filoni is the best and he knows everything. And he's secretly the president of Lucasfilm and he's in charge of all the things, not Kathleen Kennedy. And then when he does something like bring Asajj Ventress back, be like, Dave Filoni's Filonying wrong. Because that can't possibly be her. You don't know the context. You don't know if it's a flashback. We don't know what it is. And also, people just fucking come back. She comes from a long line of necromancers.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
And even though Lucasfilm did say, we're going to honor the previous stories, I have to tell y'all something. I know this isn't going to be popular. Bear in mind, I am a Star Wars book reader, and I love them. A very small percentage of people that watch the Star Wars read the Star Wars, and books don't necessarily matter.
Except Dark Disciple is canon.
A Dark Disciple is canon. It's also one of not just a good Star Wars book, it's a good book. Like, it's one of my favorite books.
All right, so are we... One quick thing before...
Do it.
I did, because things were getting messy here, 143 episodes into this podcast, with the counters. Like... having people bring up counters that I forgot we had, because honestly, we haven't kept up with them. And yeah, we do have Chorlzy, the musician who provides us with our intro music, had put together a spreadsheet, which is super helpful.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's got a life. He hasn't been keeping up with it forever, and that's fine because we didn't keep up with it either. But I did do essentially a half-assed audit of our counters. We do have an actual list now, so you will be hearing some counters. I think we had like 37.
Yeah, counters. There's some I completely forgot about.
Yeah. So you will be hearing some oldie but goodie counters coming back into the show, just so y'all know. That is a thing that's happening. Okay, are we ready to get into why we're here today?
Yes.
All right. So what we're doing on this podcast, when we actually get to the point, is we are watching through the entire Star Wars visual story in chronological order, which means we started with episode 1, The Phantom Menace, and we have been Sith walking forward through time since then. And we find ourselves today talking about Star Wars Rebels, season 1, episode 15, Fire Across the Galaxy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-huh. Do you have an intro?
Jailbreak at Mustafar.
Ooh.
The Ghost Crew go on a harrowing mission to recover the imprisoned Jedi Knight, Kanan Jarrus. But how can they possibly succeed when he is being held by an entire fleet of Imperial forces under the control of Admiral Tarkin? And let's not forget the extremely hot Grand Inquisitor. Will the Ghost Crew survive?
These are all super valid questions. Before we get into this, though, just a quick production note. This episode is directed by Dave Filoni himself.
What? I wonder why. Yes.
Right. And thus will begin the trend of knowing when a certain character is going to appear in a Star Wars show because you see that Dave Filoni directed it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, getting into this, previously on Kanan is being taken to fucking Mustafar. Kanan's being taken to fucking Mustafar! Oh, God.
I thought you were going to say Loki is bisexual for some reason.
Loki is bisexual!
Sorry, Marvelous Divas joke.
And you know Loki's bisexual. Anyway, we start off the episode with a ding on the Ghost Crew starts the episode not being chased by the Empire.
Good job, y'all.
They're doing so good. Sabine is hunting the Empire, though.
Yeah.
So, thoughts and prayers for the Empire. Because, my God, she is, jumping out and taunting a bunch of stormtroopers who are patrolling around a little Imperial airbase, sort of out in the middle of the Lothal Prairie. And she taunts them, they see her, and they're like,
we have an intruder on the north side, Sector 9. The artist is back.
And I love that she has a name amongst them.
I was like, oh my God, is Sabine the prince of the galaxy? the Mandalorian formerly known as, you know.
Right. But I love that they acknowledge that what she does is art. They're not just like, you know, the tagger.
That's great
the,
art.
The graffiti. Like, the shit she does is dope.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. And I love that Sabine is here in this rebellion situation, able to really express that, because you don't see a lot of, other than like weird cubist art deco, not a lot of art in Mandalorian culture.
Right, right.
Like her style would not fit in. Right. As far as we have seen. Anyway. Well,
I remember those paintings from like of Satine.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. Like Picasso shit, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, so Sabine is distracting the troopers while Zeb and Ezra just straight up go steal an Imperial transport ship, like you do.
Yeah. I have in my notes the Empire doesn't lock their ships.
They don't. They just leave that shit open. Like, keys in the ignition, nobody on board. What the fuck are y'all doing? And look, there's a moment here, a really cool moment where, like, because Zeb and Ezra are flying low, but they're flying away with the transport, and Sabine needs to get away from the troopers. So she's all hopping, skipping, jumping, flipping, all over the place, all just climbing stuff everywhere. The fucking athleticism on display, right?
Right.
She's all spin, flip, kicking all over the place and dodging every single shot, never gets hit, manages to get up into the transport and give them a jaunty little wave goodbye while blowing up their entire fleet of parked TIE fighters down there. So ding on the Sabine blow shit up counter.
Right.
And the stormtroopers are like, oh, not again. Like, she does this. And not only does she do all of that so stylishly, as they're flying away, the smoke from the explosion that she set off happens to swirl up in exactly the same shape as her signature Phoenix logo.
Yeah, I love that.
Like, the branding that's on point. All of that happens. And there are still dudes who are bitching that there's no way Sabine could possibly be a Force user when they watch the Ahsoka show.
That I don't get.
Like,
I mean,
I'm sorry.
I'm sure she has a low M count, but
right, like exactly. But anybody could be a Force user. Just some people are stronger in it than others. But the shit that she's done, like that's Jedi shit. What she just did.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Mandalorians are very well trained, but there comes a certain point where it's like this Mandalorian's pretty good.
Yeah. Like, she's got, and I get, she's a cartoon, right? The physics are different. But still, it is established in canon that she is that good.
Yeah, yeah. I love.
But we conveniently forget canon when we're being misogynists.
We have a patron in our chat, Maddie, just said she's got the level of theatrics needed to be a Jedi. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The drama.
Absolutely. In fact, that is one of the counters that I rediscovered is the Force user melodrama counter. So. Anyway, they have successfully destroyed a bunch of TIE fighters and stolen an Imperial transport ship. Title card of Star Wars Rebels with some heroic music. Ta-da!
Dun, dun, dun. It's so abrupt. I love it.
I know. We cut to, in space, the Ghost is docked with the stolen transport. The team is all sitting together in the living room of the Ghost going over the plan. Now, do we think this abides by heist rules? Do you remember the heist rules?
Yeah, for our listeners, Steph, how about you?
I was really hoping you remembered.
I don't, because we haven't talked about the heist rules in a while.
Okay, so according to a friend of the show, Charles from Gold Squadron Gaze, there are rules to heists in scripts and cinema. And that is, if I'm remembering this correctly, Charles's head is probably about to explode in anticipation of me getting this wrong as he's listening to this.
Good.
If I remember it correctly, good. When you are doing a what?
Nothing. Sorry, I'm just I am satisfied whenever violence happens to Charles,
especially when it's self-inflicted. He's having an aneurysm right now. Okay, so when you are doing a heist in a movie, if you describe the entire plan first and then do the heist will fail. But if you do the heist, like think Ocean's 11, if you do the heist by describing the plan while intercutting it with scenes of the heist in progress, the heist will succeed up to the point that the scenes of the heist in progress diverge from the described plan.
Mm.
But there's a loophole in the heist rules, which is where we don't really get a lot of information about the heist ahead of time, and Rebels tends to exploit that loophole.
Right.
So what we're about to get here is a very sketchy plan given to us ahead of time. By which, We should know that maybe the heist is not supposed to succeed. We should be worried about Kanan. Maybe.
I was just generally worried about everybody's safety in this episode.
Yes. Because that... Oh, it's Mustafar. Okay, anyway. So, the plan, as I understand it, they are going to use their stolen Imperial transport to get as close as possible to these small fleet of Star Destroyers, not light cruisers like we saw last episode, Star Destroyers, the big ones. Mm-hmm. They're all parked in orbit over Mustafar. Kanan, they know from the records, is being held in Tarkin's Star Destroyer, the Sovereign.
Hmm.
So they can get close, but they're going to need a distraction. So Sabine, they throw it to Sabine, the Queen of Distractions. And Sabine looks at some schematics and stuff, and she's like, I could totally rig something that will black out, like knock out the power in a Star Destroyer, but only if I can park something in the hangar bay, but this transport is too big. And Hera's like, ugh. And we had to go and blow up all the TIE fighters back there at that base.
Well.
Which is what Ezra says. And Ezra starts going, and you got Zeb going, nope, 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 making the cutthroat gesture. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. But Ezra's like, dude, this is serious. This is for Kanan. And Ezra tells Hera,
the TIE we stole a while back, we didn't exactly crash it.
And by didn't exactly, you mean?
We didn't crash it.
So, quick reminder, that TIE fighter was stolen earlier in this season. That was season 1, episode 4. That was 11 episodes ago.
What?
Yeah. And that's just been sort of hanging around.
That's
and they've been sitting on it for this moment.
And please bear in mind, y'all, from the time that we covered that episode to today, there was a strike.
It's been like 6+ months.
Yeah. So I was like, oh yeah, completely forgot about that.
Completely. No, this gambit worked on me as a viewer. I was like, oh shit.
Right.
It's a TIE fighter. Anyway, Hera's like, I should be mad at y'all, but I'm not. I'm just glad that we have the fucking thing. So let's get it. And Ezra's like, so there's a little problem.
Yeah.
No problem with the TIE fighter. What's wrong with the TIE fighter, Chris?
Well, they don't quite explain it, but they show up to it and you see it. And Sabine decided to turn the TIE fighter into his art project. And I believe it was Zeb who looks at it and says, okay, well, this is awful. But I love the TIE fighter. I fucking love
it. It looks so dope. I need to 3D print me a TIE fighter and paint it to look like this.
Well, because, and that's the thing. I looked online. It's like, is there a Sabine TIE fighter action figure anywhere? And I did actually find a few like Etsy shop places that tried to simulate something like that.
It's hard.
Sabine's a good artist, y'all. So.
Well, yeah, and it would need to be printed big, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
We're looking at this magnificent TIE fighter. So, quick details about this TIE fighter. For one thing, this TIE fighter was supposed to be like a B-plot throughout the season.
Right.
They were going to have scenes in the episodes that would keep going back to it as like a background project that the kids were doing and stuff, but they cut all the scenes and dialogue that reference this TIE fighter, A, to save time in those episodes, but B, to make this moment a bigger impact. And I think that was the right call.
I think it was the right call, too, yeah.
Now, if you look at the paint job on this TIE fighter, it has symbols from everybody on the Ghost crew. It's got the Phoenix symbol on it. It's got the thing that's on Kanan's arm guard. It's got symbols that match Hera's Leku, the markings on her Leku, the thing on the back of Ezra's jacket, Zeb's armor, and Chopper's face. So the whole team is represented in the paint job on this TIE fighter. It's dope. I like it a lot.
Yeah, so but, I love it too. This whole plan is as crazy as the colors, I believe Zeb says, and Hera's like, look, this is not a military mission.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting Kanan because he's family, and this is an insane quest. You don't have to come with me if you don't want to, but you decide now if you're in or out.
Right.
And Zeb goes, Karabast. Of course we're going to go.
Of course he's in. They're all in because Space Mom asked and because it's Space Dad. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course we're all in. And yeah, it's super fucking dangerous. Okay. They don't have time to repaint this TIE fighter.
Yeah.
They're going to have to, and it's colorful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sticks out like a sore thumb. However, luckily, Imperials are not known for looking out the fucking window.
I used the same thing in my notes. Nobody looks out the fucking window.
Yeah, they're just going to scan it and be like, cool, a TIE fighter, and go from there. So that's their plan, is get close with the transport, send in this painted TIE fighter as some kind of a thing, a distraction of some kind, and then something happens after that. So by the heist rules, we've got 1 foot in the grave of this heist succeeding.
And I'm thinking in my notes, somebody's going to die. I just don't know who.
Right, exactly. Like, it's a season finale of a Star Wars show. Something big's going to go down.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's keep watching. So meanwhile, at Kanan's ongoing torture session.
Yeah, there's an early part of the scene, Kanan's yelling and screaming. I'm like, so that's what it's like.
Oh, honey.
I'm sorry.
It's pain. It's bad. He's being tortured.
Yeah, I know. But
I'm not saying I didn't also think that.
I'm saying
I'm just
to
saying
this
you
headphones.
Said it first, so I get to feel superior.
Yeah. So yeah, Kanan is being tortured, and the Grand Inquisitor is committing him for his pain tolerance, and then he mentions to Kanan he wants to know about a particular rebel, and I'm like, okay. He wants to know about Fulcrum. He knows about Fulcrum.
He knows the name Fulcrum.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
And also, because I'm listening to this on headphones, I'm hearing the Grand Inquisitor breathing and talking, and it's in my ear, and I'm stimulated. So I have a Dean on the, I really like this character. I hope they survive this chapter.
Legit.
I'm sorry. So I know he's evil, but like, goddamn.
Yeah, but he's pretty likable. But only because we're the dark side here.
Yeah.
Because the name of the show. Anyway, Kanan is like, dude, I don't know anything. And even if I did, I would rather die than tell you. And the Grand Inquisitor's like, you're so heroic, just like your master.
Uh-oh.
The Grand Inquisitor says, tell me, Jedi, how did you survive Order 66?
God damn it.
It was your master, Balaba, who laid down her life for yours. Do you remember her last word to you? Her last and final breath before she died? You do, don't you? You see it in your sleep. You hear her voice when you wake. And then he leans in really close to Kanan's ear.
Tell me, Jedi, what was her last word to you? Run.
I should be sad.
I have so many conflicted feelings about this moment.
I know.
On the one hand, that's hot. On the other, much bigger hand, that's so devastating. That's like, because we don't, you know, if you're watching this in chronological order, this is our first insight into what happened, how Kanan survived Order 66. We're getting, this might be the second time we've ever heard his master's name. We just, and that's a girl. I think we might have already known that. I don't know. But how does he know this? How does the Grand Inquisitor know anything about this? Is it a Force Insight moment? But Force Insight wouldn't give him his Kanan's master's name. So how does he know that?
Don't know.
But so many questions.
Luckily, we'll probably won't find out. We won't see it happen. And also, we won't need to
We certainly won't
talk
revisit
about Order 66 again.
Order 66.
Yeah.
So many times.
Damn Star Wars.
Like, there are so many questions. Like, my higher functioning brain that's all like plot and emotional impact and intricacies of the script and everything is like, ooh. But my much lower functioning brain is like, say that again.
Right.
Do that again. Get your pointy teeth super close to his ear again.
He goes, does your crew know that you abandoned her?
Yes. Do they know that you're a coward? And he goes on. This is, you know what? This is where the Grand Inquisitor, you know what? I'm going to give him a ding on the Maul cuts deep counter.
Yeah, I agree.
Good Lord. Because he goes on and he like gets Kanan's lightsaber and ignites it and goes, you're afraid of your own power. You don't even wear your lightsaber openly. And he swings that saber around and points it directly in Kanan's face and goes,
you're right to be afraid. You couldn't save your master then, and you can't save your followers now.
And in my notes I have, you're right, let's get married.
You're right, I give up.
Let's cuddle.
In my notes it just goes, Jesus, dude. So you and I were in different places at that point.
Well, anyway, I was there at the same time, you know? It was like, concern for Kanan is high, but right. but my... Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Hot villain.
Yeah.
Hot villain TM. Can't help yeah. it. And I blame Jason Isaacs 100%.
Yeah.
100%. If that was like Gilbert Gottfried's voice, this would not be hot. Okay. So, meanwhile, the rescue is incoming. Okay. The Imperial transport, the stolen Imperial transport, is flying towards... We're at Mustafar. We're already here.
Yeah,
Mustafar
we're here.
Is... Every shot from out in space that we have going forward has this big, angry red lava planet looming in the background like a threat.
Yeah.
Because it's a threat.
Because it's Mustafar.
So much history there. It's bad. Okay, they've got the painted TIE fighter docked. And the plan is, as they get closer, they're going to send the transponder code to get access to the fleet area just as soon as Ezra can verify that Kanan is there.
Mm-hmm. How are they going to verify that? Hmm?
Because Ezra uses the Force.
Holy shit, he remembered the Force.
He remembered that he has the Force. He closes his eyes, he does his Force thing, and he links up with Kanan. Ta-da! Hera sends the codes, they get the clearance. Hera's like, Chopper, send them Sabine's present. And the presumably remotely piloted painted TIE fighter flies into the hangar bay, and the troopers are all doop-a-doop-a-doop. Wait a minute.
That's not regulation. I kind of like it.
And this is where I would like to introduce a new counter to the show.
Oh, shit.
The stormtroopers... Let me try again. The stormtroopers are people to counter.
Oh, they are.
Because... Star Wars likes to do this every now and then. Just give these stormtroopers just like a little throwaway line that reminds you that that's just a dude with a boring job.
We missed a few things in the Obi-Wan show.
No, they were pretty on point.
I'm thinking about Mandalorian. Okay, never mind.
But here they're just guys. They're just guarding a hangar.
Mm-hmm.
A hangar. On a Star Destroyer in orbit over Mustafar, like, what are they guarding it from? Honestly.
They're just here to gas up.
They're just bored. They're bored. These are just dudes with a boring job. And they're like, and so one of them's like, oh, I kind of like it. Aw, that's cute. You're probably going to die. Okay. And we will see this repeatedly, especially once we get to the original trilogy. There's a few golden lines. And it's like, oh, you guys are just dumb. Mm-hmm. Anyway. They go like they're going to go investigate this brightly painted new TIE fighter. The shot pulls back inside the TIE fighter's cockpit. We see that it is festooned with explosives because that's the kind of present Sabine sends.
Ion grenades. Aren't they fun?
Oh, yeah. She gets another ding on the Sabine blow shit up counter.
There's a lot of that this episode.
You know what? I love that for her. They all go off a massive EMP pulse, goes out through the ship, blacks everything out, and knocks out all the stormtroopers, which is why you got to be careful about wearing a helmet full of electronics on your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knock your ass out. The Grand Inquisitor hears all of this go down in the interrogation room. He's like, they're here. So predictable. And then walks off to God knows where. Okay. The Ghost crew are using this moment of distraction to just park their transport on the side of the Star Destroyer.
Yeah, and for some reason, for a short time, the interior shots are also sideways, which is super awkward. And so I forgot about this counter stuff.
Oh.
I'm going to say that this is a ding on the awkward Imperial piggyback ride counter. Because it's like sideways, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Right, and it is an Imperial transport piggybacked on an Imperial Star Destroyer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, we get it. Mm-hmm. There you go. Anyway, so they're like, we're going to go on board Chopper, keep the engine running. And then Ezra, we see a shot from inside the Star Destroyer of a lightsaber blade pushed through the wall and carves a really good circle in the wall.
I know.
And he didn't even have to take Jedi circle carving class.
But I was thinking,
you remember that?
I remember that. But I was thinking, once this ship detaches, it's going to suck for everybody inside the ship. Yeah.
Fuck them. Yeah. But no, we're going to go back to Jedi Circle carving class because it's a good time. It's always a good time to remember. Clearly stoned Dave Filoni.
Extremely.
Talking about the episode where Ahsoka, back in Clone Wars, where Ahsoka and Barriss teamed up. And,
God, it was 3 years ago.
They had to carve. Like a hole in a wall to get inside, and Barriss carved a rectangle instead of the usual circle. And so there's an interview where, like, for a solid 3 minutes, Dave Filoni just just vamps on that whole idea about how Padawans have a class where they're taught how to carve shapes really well. And if they don't carve a good enough circle, Yoda's like, no, that's not a good enough circle. And how Barriss doesn't carve circles. She carves squares because she's more rigid in her thinking. And yeah, y'all, that interview is worth finding. It's on StarWars.com. It's hilarious. He's adorable. I love it. Anyway, okay. So yeah, they've gotten on board the Star Destroyer. There's a bunch of unconscious stormtroopers in the hallways. They're like, cool, they're going to wake up soon. We got to hurry. Okay. So Tarkin's all pissy about this.
Oh yeah. He has this like queeny bitch look on his face, and
right.
that J Random, Imperial officer is right there. So he's all, sir, I think we lost power. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. And, yeah, we know.
And Tarkin sighs, like, turn on the auxiliary power, i.e. reboot the computer.
Right.
And this whole episode, Tarkin is the sassiest, queeniest bitch ever. I just want to point that out.
He's being massively inconvenienced.
Yeah.
He tells them, though, because, yeah, things shit's been shut off. They're clearly being attacked, boarded. Something is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tarkin's like, look, I need you to fucking quit panicking, okay,
yeah.
Officers on the bridge with me, because he has a protocol in place in which all of the ships in this fleet send an all-clear message at regular intervals to the rest of the fleet, and the second that we miss an interval, the other ships in the fleet send reinforcements to the one that missed an interval. And that interval is up now. Boom. Reinforcements are incoming from the other ships.
Yeah, and Chopper can see this from the window, because Chopper does look out the window.
He does.
And he goes, uh-oh, though I like to think he actually said, oh, fuck. So the reinforcements going to the hangar. Did you notice the shoulder pads on the stormtroopers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They've got ARC trooper pads.
Yeah, ARC trooper pads, but they're gray. So it's to suggest that these stormtroopers are a little bit better. So I did find a quick interview with Dave Filoni where he's like, I just assume that the stormtroopers with the shoulder pads are considered to be more elite soldiers, meaning that they can shoot a little bit better, but just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Stormtrooper's still going to stormtrooper. So yeah, Chopper sees the reinforcements incoming. He calls Hera, and Hera's like, well, fuck, that was fast.
Yeah.
And Sabine's like, don't worry, it's a big ship. It's going to take them a while to find us. They turn a corner and there's the reinforcements.
Dean, right, Sabine forgot that she was in a Star Wars.
Stop jinxing everything.
Yeah.
They run, they pew pew. They manage to get away, and Ezra uses his lightsaber to seal a door shut in between him and them. But oops, it was also sealing the door shut on the only way to get to where Kanan's being held.
Yeah.
And Hera's like, that's the only way for us to get there. But it's not the only way for you.
Oh.
And she indicates the vent in the ceiling.
God damn it.
And so sure enough, we do get a ding on the Ezra's in the goddamn walls counter as Ezra Bridger climbs up into the vents and is now in the goddamn walls.
I love that we're playing to our strengths right now.
right.
Yeah, so this scene, I completely forgot about Steph. So we're jumping around a lot. The action is starting to pick up, so we're going to be jumping all over the place from this point on for the rest of the episode. The Chopper, who is very scared, very concerned. Uh-huh. There's a lot of people. What if they see him? Chopper calls Fulcrum.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Fulcrum's little hologram pops up, and she's like, "Who?" Well, they are like, "Who's this?"
And I headcanon that Chopper is like, "Girl."
The fact that I'm calling you should be a real red flag for you.
But how is he calling her? Like, how does he know?
How does he not know?
I don't know.
Chopper has hacked every single inch of that ship.
That's true.
There's no comms that he doesn't have access to.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay, so Chopper is calling Fulcrum, and the rest of the Ghost crew is running around on the Star Destroyer trying to find, I guess, another way off the ship. Good for them. Ezra is climbing out of the goddamn walls. He, like, basically immediately finds Kanan.
Yeah, yeah.
Having the Force is so cool, you guys.
And after Ezra opens the door, Kanan sees him, and Ezra's like, turns out you taught me pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were a bad person, I would have used that as the line, but I didn't.
Oh, my
God. I know. I'm terrible.
You're a bad person.
I'm
still,
a bad
though,
person. I'm a bad person.
Because you pointed it out. Anyway,
yeah.
Kanan's like,
you shouldn't have come here, but I'm glad you did.
You would have done the same for me. In fact, you have.
And that's true. I know. Why? They finally get Kanan out of his fucking torture chair. Yay. We get cuts back and forth. You know, you see the crew is running from troopers. They're going shooty shooty. But we get back to Ezra and Kanan. And for some fucking reason, Ezra supporting a limping because he's been electrocuted for like a day and a half now. Yeah. Kanan. For some reason, they go to the engine room.
It's the way out.
Sure.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a callback to the original trilogy where in A New Hope, Leia and Luke, they get separated from Han because Han went and fucking bum-rushed a bunch of troopers. And their only way out is to swing on a rope across
a big chasm. An engine. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other exit from a ship.
That's not the only callback. If you look in the background, the generators look exactly like the generator that Obi-Wan deactivated on the Death Star.
So the Star Destroyer, I've actually found production notes the engine room, is designed after the Jedi Cruiser engine room from Clone Wars.
I love that.
And the Jedi Cruiser engine room from Clone Wars was designed after the engine room from the Super Dimension Fortress in an anime called Macross. Yep. That is all true.
Y'all are fucking nerds. I love it. I haven't seen it. Wow. That's
I've never watched Macross.
Holy 90s, yeah. Batman.
Right?
I mean, 80s, I think, actually. Note that... this chamber has lots of pathways over nothing. And once again, no fucking rails.
I don't know if we ever formally canonized the OSHA violation counter, but there it is.
Yeah.
It is now. That's ding on the OSHA violation counter.
What the fuck, no Star Wars? Guardrails. How many people have fallen off these fucking... You know what? Never mind.
Never mind. So on this very unprotected, very narrow walkway over the canyon abyss into the engine of this massive ship, they see ahead of them, right in a beam of dramatic light, is the Grand Inquisitor, who gets a ding on the Force user melodrama counter for his dramatic pose. They see him, and Kanan's like, you know what, Ezra, let me borrow your lightsaber real quick. And Ezra's like, yeah, sure, no problem. He wants no part of the Grand Inquisitor
right now.
Mm-mm. They have clashed before. It didn't go well. It was, in fact, bad. So, Kanan charges in, and he's doing a glorious combination, because he's got Ezra's saber, right? Which is both a saber and a stun gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing a magnificent combination of shooting and sabering. It looks so hot. Fucking cool.
Yeah.
Right? And Ezra's like, I never thought of that. I'm like, honey, yes. That's... You should have maybe thought of that.
It's serving some Jedi survivor realness, and I love that.
It's good stuff. Yeah. It's a legitimately cool fight.
I love this. This is the best fight of the show so far.
Yes. Yeah. There's one point where Kanan, like, swings at the Grand Inquisitor, and he does a full-on, like, Tartagoski Clone Wars split in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
To go over it. Just for a split second, we're in the goddamn Nutcracker. <You know>? What is happening? It was cool. And then they get the classic lightsaber duel beats of like crossed up blades and leaning in close and a lot of heavy eye contact. And the Grand Inquisitor is pushing Kanan back. Ezra sees that Kanan's lightsaber is on the Grand Inquisitor's belt, so he force grabs it. Now it's a 2-on-1.
And then the Grand Inquisitor says,
at last, a fight that might be worthy of my time.
What an asshole.
With the Imperial March playing.
Though. Yeah.
And I feel like if you got the Imperial March playing behind what you're saying, it had better be something an asshole would say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing what he's doing. He's playing to his strengths. That's what we're doing this episode. That's the whole theme.
Yeah.
He goes all double bladey,
mm-hmm.
Like you do. And look, there were a lot of people who had a lot of shit to talk about the lightsaber fights and about the lightsabers themselves in the animation of Rebels. And they can fuck right the fuck off. This fight between the three of them is dope.
Agreed. Agreed.
It's so good. But Kanan is injured from, you know, endless torture, and Ezra's still kind of a noob. So the Grand Inquisitor, who is not injured and is really good at what he does, manages to like knock Ezra back, and then he knocks Kanan back, and then he flings his saber copter at Ezra,
mm-hmm.
which knocks Ezra off the walkway because there's no goddamn guardrails.
Nope.
And Kanan gives a good, solid Star Wars no as he watches him go over. And he stares over the edge. And what the fuck? Is Ezra dead?
That and my worst fear is confirmed. Of course, I know that's not what happens. But
I mean,
I'm living in the moment. Yeah.
We know that there's more seasons. That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's staring over there. We don't get a good look at Ezra. Like, the show is deliberately not showing us Ezra's fate here.
Yeah.
So, fuck. Kanan, devastated, staring over at what I'm assuming is Ezra's shattered corpse at the bottom of this engine room. He collects himself like the Jedi he is. He stands up and he looks at the Grand Inquisitor and says,
"That was a mistake."
"Why?" "Because you have no one left to die for you."
This bitch.
I love that. I'm sorry. That's such an asshole thing to say. Yeah.
that was legit. That was, again, ding on the Maul Cuts deep counter.
Yeah.
But Kanan force pulls his saber to him. Now he's got two blades and he says,
"No, because I have nothing left to fear."
Kanan levels.
He does. And he gets a ding on the Force user melodrama counter.
Yeah, he does.
The Grand Inquisitor is so fucked now because Kanan has hero music. Anyway, there's some more fighting. Meanwhile, the rest of the crew, they're fucked because the knocked out stormtroopers are now waking up and there's now twice as many stormtroopers on this ship. And so they're like, what the fuck do we do? And Sabine says, I have an alternate plan.
Uh-oh.
Part one involves, believe it or not, a grenade.
A grenade, yeah. Once again, Dean, she blows shit up.
I love her. It's a smoke grenade, but still
it counts. Yeah, it still counts, yeah.
Throws that down the hallway at all of these troopers. They're in the smoke. The rest of the plan is to run and gun their way to the hangar bay, where Hera points out that just so happens to be where Sabine's masterpiece is parked. Yeah. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. That's just a way that we could definitely get off the ship. What? Hera tries to call Ezra to let him know about the change in plans, but there's no answer. And in my notes, it says, because he's dead?
Question mark?
No, he's just unconscious on a lower walkway that he happened to land on.
Well, what are the chances of that? Thank you, Force.
when you're a Star Wars protagonist, pretty good.
Yeah, actually. Pretty good. Yeah. It still fucking hurt, I'm sure.
Yeah. Ezra comes to consciousness, and he hears a chorus of different voices calling his name. And it's like his parents.
Ugh.
It's Kanan. It's even Sebo.
Yeah.
You know, it's everybody. Everybody who's ever said his name before is calling his name, like beckoning him back to be awake. And he finally hears Hera's voice on the comms calling his name. And he answers it. And he's like, I'm here, what? And she says, okay, did you get Kanan? Is he okay? Ezra looks up at the upper walkway where Kanan is kicking the shit out of the Grand Inquisitor. And he's like, I think he's better than okay.
He's a lot better all of a sudden.
He's doing great. So getting to Kanan and the Grand Inquisitor, they're all, you know, lightsaber duly, like you do. And Kanan tells the Grand Inquisitor,
you were right. I was a coward. But now I know there's something stronger than fear. Far stronger. The Force.
And I blush. The look on his face, I'm like, Kanan Jarrus.
Yeah, he's talking about the Force.
I know, but I'm still blushing because that's a good look. That's a good look.
And then there's some classic original trilogy dramatic slow-mo effect going on.
Okay. So I
felt a little awkward, honestly.
It was choppy to me. I don't know. So I watched it on Disney Plus. I watched it on my computer, and then I watched it again on my phone, and it was choppy both times.
I legit thought something was wrong with my internet because we've been having trouble with the internet for a few days. But no, that's just in the show.
It's weird.
So the only thing I could think of is it calls back to in Empire Strikes Back, the slow-mo when Luke is confronting Vader in the tree.
Okay. But
yeah, that's what it felt like.
Oh. But I don't know.
It was not a good look. Yeah, it was awkward. It was weird. Anyway, Kanan's like, let me show you how strong it is. And the Grand Inquisitor's got his saber copter like spinning in front of him because he's in full defensive mode. And Kanan just jabs both of his lightsabers right in the middle there.
It's like I'm sorry, I have to say this. My notes say Kanan DPs the
Thank you.
Grand Inquisitor's lightsaber.
Thank you. Yes, he does. That is a double penetration moment, y'all.
Yeah.
You don't usually get double penetration from one dude. Usually there's more than one dude involved.
Yeah, so good job, Kanan. That's a talent. Yeah. That's talent.
Well done. That's right.
Well, I mean,
there's toys. Yeah, there's things you could do.
Yeah, that's what I usually do is... Anyway, kidding.
We've learned too much about ourselves today. Anyway, he double penetrates the spinning lightsaber. It causes the chaos with the lightsaber. The Grand Inquisitor goes flying back. The saber falls in two pieces, but the blades are still lit. And they hit the engine, and a big fucking crazy explosion starts in the Star Destroyer engine. That's the hyperdrive. This is a problem. The Grand Inquisitor is clinging to the edge of this walkway. He would have had a better shot if there were guardrails. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Empire.
Kanan looms over him with a really nice low angle shot. Mm-hmm, just saying. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he has the crossed lightsaber blades right in front of the Grand Inquisitor's face. Very much Anakin over Dooku.
Yeah, yeah.
From Revenge of the Sith. Yeah.
Do it.
But Kanan is a better person than Anakin, which is admittedly
a low bar
to clear.
Yeah.
And he shuts off his sabers and puts them away. And it looks like he might even be about to offer the Grand Inquisitor a hand up.
But the Grand Inquisitor, she can't help herself.
Gotta have a dramatic final moment. Force user melodrama, baby.
You have no idea what you've unleashed here today. There are some things far more frightening than death.
And I'm like, okay, what badass thing is he going to do? Is he going to jump up and do some cool karate? Is he going to bust out a grenade? Nope. He just lets go.
He's going to go full Gollum at Mount Doom.
Right. And die.
And just fall backwards into the fiery pit below.
And I'm thinking, well, considering the price of failure, this is probably a far more merciful way to go.
Yeah, yeah. Because you imagine you survive this and you eventually end up back in front of your boss? No, thank you. Kanan hears Ezra calling his name and he turns and he's like, oh, I thought I lost you. Kanan did that whole thing thinking Ezra might be dead.
Yeah. Well, probably dead because he fell to the fucking into the darkness as far as Kanan knew.
No, I'm pretty sure Kanan could see him on the walkway because we could all see him on the walkway. He was very well lit.
Mm.
But he did hit the ground and just be unconscious.
Yeah.
So maybe he thought he was dead. Doesn't matter. Anyway, it's time to go home. Meanwhile, on the bridge of the Star Destroyer, Tarkin is informed that the ship's hyperdrive is about to explode. They need to evacuate.
And I love the facial expression.
Not to say the look on his face.
He fucking hates that. He fuck hates being told we need to leave.
Well, and like, your ship, the Sovereign, is about to fucking die.
I'm like, girl, they're all the same. Just get another one and call it the Sovereign.
But this is a personal insult.
I know it is. He's like, I have all these coffee mugs in my office. I have tchotchkes everywhere. Yeah, he's not a tchotchke
it's true.
Kind of guy.
Anyway, Hera, Sabine, and Zeb manage to get to the hangar into the painted TIE fighter. They call Ezra. They're like, oh my God, let's go. And Ezra's like, we're on our way. You just go ahead and go. And Hera's like, I'm not leaving without you. Kanan comes on the comms. And he's like, just listen to the kid. We're fine. Hera's whole face lights up at hearing his voice again.
Mm.
And I love them.
I love them so much.
Kanan tells her to get out, take care of Zeb and Sabine. He'll get Ezra out. Trust me. Hera doesn't bother questioning it again at all. She just fucking flies out of there.
Well, the line is that Kanan says, I got Ezra. And Ezra goes, no, I got you. And I can't help myself, Heather. Immediately, I went, I got you, babe. Dun, 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 dun.
But did you do the Beavis and Butthead version? Dun, 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 dun.
No, I did it classy because I love Cher, so.
I got you. But Cher sang it with Beavis and Butthead.
I know.
It's still classy Cher, even though it was Beavis and Butthead.
It was Beavis and Butthead.
So, hey, back in the day, kids.
Oh, my God.
There was a really dumb cartoon called Beavis and Butthead. So if you want to go to the YouTube, look it up. I'm pretty sure you can find
the music video. They did new seasons of that show, you know.
They did what?
They did new seasons of Beavis and Butthead.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't.
I've never seen it, but they did.
I deny this reality.
What? Terrible. They did Invader Zim.
Do you know how hard it was to date teenage boys in the 90s? When Beavis and Butthead was on the fucking air? And they were all like, hey, hey, hey. like half of their fucking, all of their standard responses to everything that happened in reality was a line from fucking Beavis and Butthead.
My favorite part, Steph, I don't know if you remember this, but one of my best friends at the time always brought this up. Notice the amount of like deodorant and shampoo commercials that would be played during the Beavis and Butthead show. It was all like,
yeah, that shit
like
didn't fucking work.
Fast food commercial, deodorant.
The only deodorant that stuck with any of the guys in my social circle was fucking Dracar Noir, okay? I still can't smell Dracar Noir without getting a little... Anyway, God, back to Rebels. So, yeah, they're flying away. Hera's flying the painted TIE fighter away from the Star Destroyer. They're being chased by so many fighters. They're trying to call Chopper to pick them up. He's not answering.
Yeah.
Chopper's gone.
He's gone.
What the fuck? Kanan and Ezra run into the hangar. They see that the only ship left there is the Grand Inquisitor's TIE fighter. And Ezra goes, well, we know he's not going to use it.
And I fucking laughed my ass off. Kanan was concerned.
Yeah, Kanan's like, you know what, kid? You worry me sometimes. And Ezra just shrugs. Anyway, they fly away in the Grand Inquisitor's now stolen TIE fighter. And the painted TIE fighter's flying away. The painted TIE fighter is flying away. It's being pursued by a bunch of other TIE fighters. And the Grand Inquisitor's TIE fighter comes in and shoots them all down. We're flying together. It's great, but we're still fucked because Chopper is gone.
And there's a fuck ton more TIE fighters coming. Zeb even calls out, boy, we're in a bit of a tight spot. And Sabine's like, well, this thing wasn't built for three people. And
right.
Zeb's like, no, bitch, I'm talking about the fucking fight.
It's true. And then, all of a sudden, when things seem their bleakest, mm-hmm. because this is a Star Wars after all, ta-da, new ships arrive. Chopper is back with the transport and reinforcements. That's the Ghost.
The Ghost? Who is flying that?
Don't know.
And three Corvettes.
And there's three fucking blockade runners are there.
Yeah.
I did find production notes. Those ships are all definitely a repurposed Tantive IV model mm-hmm. from Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So
love that.
Love it. Reduce, reuse, recycle. More ship models. And everyone's like, whoa, who the fuck is that? And there's a lot of pew, pew, pew. And the new ships are covering them so that the TIE fighters can dock with the transport. And everybody jumps into hyperspace. We made it out. The heist was successful. Hooray. Love it. Meanwhile, in the background, the Star Destroyer Sovereign blows the fuck up. Mm-hmm. But Tarkin got away on a shuttle. Boo.
And he's given the wonderful news, sir, the rebels have escaped.
Yeah.
And Tarkin's just so annoyed. And I love it. I love that for her journey.
Love and life. Meanwhile, in hyperspace, the Ghost crew are all reunited. Kanan and Hera hug it out, and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Chopper rolls in. He's particularly smug because he knows he just saved everybody's ass. Ezra asks, if Chopper's in the transport, who's flying the Ghost? Let's find out. We dock together with the Ghost, too. And now we're on board the Ghost. Chopper leads them past, like, an honor guard?
Yep.
These are rebels. I love that these... Okay, so these rebels are designed after some Ralph McQuarrie art.
I love that.
That was found. So are the blockade runners, the paint jobs on the Corvettes. All based on Ralph McQuarrie art. And for those of you who don't know, Ralph McQuarrie was the original concept artist for the original trilogy. Like, 99.99% of the look of Star Wars is based on his art.
Just a quick reminder, we do not waste anything in Star Wars.
Everything gets reused. Mm-hmm. Everything. Okay, so what I love about their uniforms, though, these rebels, they match-ish. Like, they're not perfectly matched. Clearly, these are scrounged, like, uniform pieces.
Yeah.
But they look kind of alike. To give you more of an idea of this is more of an individuals group, a little more ragtag, smaller budget than the Empire. Anyway, so they roll past these guys and Chopper turns around.
Yeah.
And he projects a holo of Bail motherfucking Organa.
Hey, girl. How you
doing?
Hey.
That is the return of Phil Lamar as the voice of Bail Organa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Kanan's like, hold on, I'm confused. I met you once. I don't even know your name. Why are you here right now? And I would like to point out to Kanan, he's not here right now. thus earning Bail Organa a ding on the Bail Bail scale.
Thank you. I was going to wait till after he got unprojected, but yeah, sure.
Nope, fuck it. He's not there.
Sometimes I just love seeing Bail just so I can use that counter.
It keeps applying every time. Anyway, Hera's like, no, 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 that's Senator Bail Organa. He's kind of a big deal. Kind of a thing. Or Bail Organa tells them that, you know, yes, it's me. And also, these other ships are all full of members of the Rebellion, other rebel cells. By the way, yes, there are other rebel cells.
And Hera quickly explains that the whole idea per protocol is that they weren't supposed to meet. So that way, if any of them gets captured, they can't sell each other out no matter what.
Right.
And there's a voice that calls from above.
The protocol has changed.
And I'm like, that voice.
I know that voice.
I know that voice. Now, okay. Earlier we had the Grand Inquisitor with his like amazing intro. Kanan had his moment where he's all dramatic. We're going to see one more dramatic thing after this scene. Ahsoka Tano just comes down the ladder. And she's like, oh, hey, guys.
Yeah, she's just doing a job.
I love that about her. Like, no drama. She's like, I'm done piloting the ship. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, she just walks in and Hera's like, oh, Fulcrum. And then, yeah, that's Ahsoka Tano. And Kanan's like, why is Fulcrum here? What's going on? And Ahsoka says, it's because of you and your apprentice.
Many in this system and beyond have heard your message. You gave them hope in their darkest times. We didn't want that hope to die.
And Ezra says, so what now? And Ahsoka says, a new chapter, my dude. A new day, a new beginning. Everything is super hopeful. And we will get to revel in this moment and nothing else happens in this episode. And because that's not true, Stephanie's going to sidebar into the look of Ahsoka Tano in Rebels.
Yeah, let's do that.
So Ahsoka's look, Dave Filoni really enjoyed getting to grow her up.
Yeah.
Like, that was the point. It's been 15 years since the last time we saw her. She's an adult Togruta now. And because this is in animation, there's a lot of people who had problems with the look of her in live action because she doesn't have this enormous Montrals and Leku situation that she does in animation.
Well, you know, they're welcome to wear a really heavy headpiece and walk around all day. Fuck you, people.
And try and do fight choreography.
Yeah.
Like that.
God damn.
Of course,
people.
She could do it because she's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Okay? Things have to change when you're dealing with actual physics and gravity and shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the look of Ahsoka, her armor is different. It was deliberately designed to make her look like a samurai.
I love that.
All the way down to her sabers. She has new sabers and they have slightly curved hilts like samurai swords. And Dave Filoni pulled the inspiration for these armor pieces from the idea that she has been scavenging, like full-on Jedi Survivor style, scavenging in ancient temples.
I love that.
And has found ancient Jedi armor. And so that's what she's wearing. I saw an interview with Ashley Eckstein about coming back as the voice of Ahsoka. And she says that she gets asked all of the time, like in between Clone Wars and this, asked all the time where Ahsoka is, what she's doing, etc. And she never knows because she doesn't know until Dave Filoni hands her a script.
Right.
Like, he plays that so close to the vest. Even the actors don't know until they're fucking saying the lines, practically. So she never knows what to say when she does get asked. So she will answer things like, I don't know, she's eating cupcakes and working on a pony farm. Just because she knows that Dave Filoni will then be asked, is Ahsoka eating cupcakes on a pony farm? And then he has to fucking answer that. And he hates answering that shit. So she will do that every time.
I love that.
She will troll him, and I think that's a
deal. Yeah, two things. Maddie does point out in our chat, happy Ahsoka week. It was Ahsoka day this week.
Oh, yay. So. That's right.
And then Big, another chatter, wrote, this was our first confirmation that she didn't get caught in Order 66, right? Like, it's ambiguous after she leaves the Order. That's correct. We did not get Clone Wars Season 7. I don't even think Clone Wars Season 6 was completely out yet. And, of course, she wasn't even in that season. So,
right.
This was I had assumed until I saw this moment that she got killed in Order 66.
Right. Because we didn't get, this was in 2014 that this season happened. We didn't get Clone Wars Season 7 until 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't know how shit went down. This was our only confirmation that she survived.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big shock when it happened.
Yeah, it was a big fucking deal to see beloved character back. There was a lot of feedback because Star Wars fans are so open to change.
Mm-hmm.
About her look, and about, you know, her Leku and Montrals are so much longer, but the stripe pattern is completely different. She just looks so different, and that's because she's in a new style of animation. That's it.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a tube top on anymore either.
The purpose fucking of the Rebels animation is far more stylized because you're trying to match it to the Ralph McQuarrie art style. And also it's cheap. It's a cheaper way to animate. They did not have a big ass budget for the show like they did with Clone Wars. They just didn't. Mm-hmm. They had to work with it.
Yeah. And she looks fucking great.
And she still looks great.
I love this look for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. This is the episode.
Yeah. Anyway, so we go back.
Nothing terrifying.
back in Lothal, my dad is waiting for a shuttle to...
Agent Callus is watching a shuttle fly in.
Daddy Callus is waiting for a shuttle to land. I'm assuming it's going to be Tarkin with it looking all pissy. And it is actually Tarkin all pissy. And Callus gives Tarkin such good news. Like, there were reports of unrest all over Lothal. Mm-hmm. There were whispers from Mustafar. Some people see the Empire as weak and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And Tarkin's like, oh, no, don't worry. Don't worry. The Emperor has sent an alternative solution. And I'm like, oh, what? Okay, whatever. And then I hear the breathing. And then the music gets kind of intense, and I start hearing the Imperial March.
Yeah.
And fucking Vader comes down the ramp, and he gets the full, like, shot. He goes towards the camera, and I'm turned on.
Yeah, well... It's a lot. Yeah. So Darth Vader is here, and that's not terrifying at all. That's not an extreme escalation in the whole, but that's obviously where this was going to go. So we're left with the end of this episode, like, okay, Ahsoka's back, but so is Vader.
The power level just increased.
The power level just fucking skyrocketed. And also, does Ahsoka know? Who's in the suit?
Don't know.
We don't know. We don't know if she knows. We don't know what's happened. We didn't even know she was alive until 5 minutes ago. Like, it's such a fucking cool reveal. The episode ends on the show logo with just the Vader breathing, no music.
And
it's so good.
And it's also the end of the season.
We're
not going to find out what happened. I looked at the date. We don't find out what happens for 8 months. Isn't that fun?
Fuck.
Yeah.
So I saw some interviews with Dave Filoni talking about bringing Darth Vader into Rebels. This is, it should be noted, Filoni's first time directing with Vader.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you got to keep the whole legacy of Vader in mind. And so as far as directing a scene with Vader in it, you never ever have a high angle on him, mm-hmm. unless you're looking at it from the Emperor's perspective. The camera never looks down at Vader. It's always from a low angle up.
Oh, interesting.
Just to reinforce the imposing nature, the fact that he's super tall and scary, and that everybody is literally beneath him, even the point of view.
Aww.
Yes. So you just, and they didn't mess with the design of Vader much at all, except his helmet is more elongated.
Mm-hmm.
In this animation, which again, fans were so receptive of, and they weren't. They fucking hated it. They talked about how Vader looked really dumb now, and he was all super weirdly skinny and angular and everything, and he wasn't even scary anymore. Vader's design here is exactly the proportions drawn by Ralph McQuarrie
exactly.
in concept art.
That's the point
for
of
Vader.
The style of the show.
Exactly. This is what that concept art was supposed to look like in the first place. Now, the Vader that we got in the original trilogy, that is what happens when art meets physics and costume design and having to fit it on a human head.
Yeah. And you get like a 7 foot tall man who has very broad shoulders and all this shit, you know?
And like his skull is a round thing.
Yeah.
But here in animation, they can be more true to the art style. To the original concepts of the entire look. And that's the look that we're getting on Vader. That's why he looks so fucking cool. I love it. And that's the end of the episode.
Oh my God.
That's the end of the season.
Westerner Chat says, okay, about Vader, they animated him to deliberately mimic Anakin's movement and animation style from Clone Wars. Well, Spoiler, Anakin is Vader.
Except his movement is a little different.
Because he's a cyborg.
He's a cyborg.
Yeah.
And his legs are longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's the end of that. Do you have any final thoughts on the episode, on the season?
No. Oh my God, we're already done with season one. Holy shit. What happened?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The strikes really fucked up my sense of time.
The pandemic fucked up
and
my sense of
that
time.
Too, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 2019 was yesterday.
Ugh.
So, okay. Anyway, so do you have anything else for this episode?
No, not for this episode.
Okay. Well, what do you have then?
Well, Steph, you dropped the bomb on me last night. So I guess we need to talk about it.
Yep.
There is these Rebel shorts.
Uh-huh.
And you wanted to talk about it next?
Well, we actually had a lot of people ask if we were going to cover the Rebel shorts, which were these like 4 or 5 minute episodes of Rebels that were released prior to the pilot episode being released, that were to sort of introduce the main characters to the audience so that they would know who we're dealing with. So we can do a quick episode on covering Rebel shorts before we get into season two, if you want.
Fine. That's fine. I can do that.
We probably should have, if we were really going to like hew to the whole chronological order thing, covered them before we did season one, but,
We didn't. Yeah. So that means y'all next episode, we're going to be discussing the Rebels shorts, not, season two, episode one,
right?
Which I have just watched and oh my God, but we'll get there.
Yeah. We'll do the Rebel shorts first and then we will get into season two, episode one.
Here Holy shit. Anyway.
All right. Cool. So do we have anything else for today?
No.
Okay. Then we should outro. You wanna?
Let's do it.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate that. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed the music at the top of the episode, you should. That was a gift to the show from one of our listeners by the name of Chorlzy. He's an actual recording artist. You can find him and his music on the social media as at Chorlsy. If you want to hang out with us in between episodes, you totally can. We are on Facebook, Instagram, the artist formerly known as Twitter, and mainly TikTok as at DarksideDivas.
Dun, dun, dun. Also, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our podcast. Why? For some reason, my brain went to Hulk Hogan. I was about to do that. let me go back. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our podcast via your favorite podcast platform of choice, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Good Pods. It doesn't matter, brother. But please,
you went there anyway.
But please subscribe and also leave a review. We'd really appreciate that. Also, we have a YouTube channel, Dark Side Divas. Please subscribe there. We are going to do live shows there very soon about different content. We do Marvel mm-hmm. content there, Star Wars content there, and we play Baldur's Gate, which I forgot to ask Steph, are we doing that tomorrow?
I don't know.
We'll talk about it later. it's probably too late to set it up now. And then we also have a swag store, redbubble.com/officialdivas, where you can buy t-shirts, stickers, mugs, and a lot of other things with our show logos and the funny shit we say on it. And then last but certainly not least, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/divaspodcast for just $5 a month. You can get unedited video versions of our shows. We do live record them. You can interact with us in real time and watch how messy we really are. And also we have special content there and access to the greatest Discord community in the galaxy.
It is true. Okay.
And that's it.
All right. Then we say goodbye now. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.